If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
This is the Mean Gene Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Mean Gene.
Pack it up, pack it in, let me begin. I came to win, battle me, that's a sin. I won't ever slack up, punk, you better back up.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Mean Gene Show right here on ESPN 97.5, H-Town. And oh my goodness, we got a great show for you today. As you can see, I am not alone. You know what? Look, I tell you what, we have had some great guests on this show. I mean, I'm talking about some Super Bowl MVPs. We've had some of the world's greatest sports writers, but nothing like the two gentlemen that are in this studio with me today. And if you're watching us on YouTube, we'll wave at you. Okay, look, you may not know who the hell these gentlemen are, but I know who they are. Okay, look, now, you know, we come here, we talk sports all the time. We do the professional thing. And John B., John, welcome to the show. I'm so sorry.
Why are you sorry?
Well, because I'm looking at you, and then I just forgot to acknowledge
that. You don't have to mention me, Gene. Okay, I'm not important, but thank you.
So here's the thing. Okay. We do our homework. We go out there. We prepare for these shows. We do this stuff. And look, but there are times when you know, I'm a sports fan, so I have a right to kind of, you know, want to talk sports myself. And I only do it with my best friends. They are the ones that know how I truly feel about what we talk about here, okay? Because not saying that I come on the air and tell you one thing and say something completely different. But I invited two of my best friends here, and I've known these guys for well over 40 years, and they are veterans of the military, United States Navy, just like myself. You always hear me talk about the Navy and the Army, even though I did both. We will not talk about why I did both. But nevertheless, these gentlemen right here, I have sailed the seven seas with them, and I'm going to start with Stan the Man, Stan Lambert over here. Stan, I have known since high school. We both grew up in Arkansas, and it was just by, I don't know, it just by luck, we ended up, we both joined the Navy, didn't know we were joining the Navy, and we ended up being stationed together on the same ship in the United States Navy, so that's Stan. Stan, welcome to the show, man.
Thanks for having me, Mean Gene.
And Stan's been on the show before. He's called in. This is the first time we ever brought him in the studio. And then this guy over here to my immediate right, I don't know why the hell I even brought him on here, because when I first joined the Navy as an 18-year-old kid, and you know, look, John, I'm only like 5'10", 5'11". Okay, we're going to say I'm 5'11", and I wore a size 13 shoe. And they put us in the same berthing area, and he never knew my name. All he called me was Bigfoot the whole damn time I was in the Navy, and told me he kicked my shoes every morning because they were in his way. And I've known this guy for 40-something years, and this is Craig White. Craig, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you, Mean Gene, shipmate, for having me on the show. It's a pleasure, and a God bless pleasure at that.
Yeah, you're still talking about my damn feet, though.
Well,
we'll talk about that later, okay?
What's one discrepancy, you know?
So anyway, we got a great show for you today. It's the NBA Finals. All right, look, here, I'll tell you what. And these are the guys that I talk to when I'm not on the air, okay? When I'm just sitting in the confines of my home, or when we get together and do what we do, we talk sports. And I'm like, why not bring the people on the show that I talk sports with? And these guys really, and these guys know they sports, okay? And you're going to find out today. But anyway, the Indiana Pacers go into Oklahoma City and beat the Thunder 111-110. They didn't lead any in this damn game until the last shot, pretty much, made by who again? Tyrese Halliburton. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. And Stan, I want to start with you because, you know, we got a group chat that we do all the time. And I know, I think you started it and you wanted to know who we all had in this finals. And I don't think we found one person that went, I guess, that went for Indiana.
No one picked Indiana. I'm not shocked that they won the first game, though, but I am shocked at is that OKC changed their lineup at the beginning of the first game of the series, and they went small ball, and I don't think they should have done that.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about that. Craig, who did you take for the series, Craig?
Me, I went with OKC, and I'm like, Stan, I'm surprised. Why would you change your lineup? And then, you know, stick with what got you there.
You know, well, because we see that. We see that a lot in sports. We see it a lot in the NFL, you know, when teams get to the playoffs and they go against everything. But, look, maybe Mark Dagenault took a page from Tom Thibodeau. We're going to talk about Tom Thibodeau later in the show. We're also going to talk about Adam Silver a little bit later in the show and the proposed new NBA All-Star format. Format number 10, I think, okay? They're going to keep doing it until they get it right. We're going to talk about that. But it seems like Dagenault, I mean, look, why wouldn't you make somewhat of a change? Because it's game one. If you're going to make a change, you're going to make it game one, and you're at home. And I'm thinking that Stan, he had to have some confidence in making a change. I mean, this is like not a lineup that he hadn't seen in the regular season.
Why change what got you there? Give those guys a chance to see what they could do. I wouldn't have changed right now. I'd have changed later on if it wasn't working out for me. Mm-hmm. But these guys had a winning record with their lineup, so why change it? Step down to the lesser team's level. I wouldn't have did it.
Craig, you think he did it before the game. So, I mean, you know, now the question, and we're going to talk about this as we go out throughout the show, was, you know, okay, you see, just like we saw when Tom Thibodeau made that change, and I think me and John, we had talked about it, and we said, look here, it probably wouldn't have worked anyway, but the fact that they got into foul trouble, remember when Towns got into foul trouble, and so did what's his name?
Jalen Brunson.
Yeah, Brunson got in foul trouble. Then he had to rely on that bench to get him through. So, you know, but Dagenault had to be able to trust. He's got a good bench. I mean, he had to be able to trust. He saw something that he wanted to try. And for the most part, for 47 minutes and 40 seconds, it worked.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, but then Indiana didn't change their format, did they?
No.
And I'm like, I'm still amazed, like, okay, I don't know. I just felt like, me personally, I wouldn't have changed it. I would have stuck with what got me there. But, you know, that's just my personal opinion.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. How about we get, you know, look, because that shot, we've seen Halliburton do it so many times.
And
can we just kind of get, can we get the game-winning shot, John, just one more time? I mean, let's just hear it.
Jumper off the mark, won't go. Rebound, Nesmith. The Pacers with a chance to win it. Final seconds, no fouls to give. Halliburton looking. Halliburton driving, pulls off, jump shot. It's good! It's good! With 0.3 seconds remaining. Timeout, OKC. Tyrese Halliburton does it again.
How many times? I mean, it's like a broken record. How many times? And you don't want to call this man a superstar. I think the Knicks would tell you different. I think the Milwaukee Bucks would tell you different. I think the Cleveland Cavaliers would tell you different, Stan, that this guy is a superstar.
I think he is a superstar. He's not needed like most superstars are needed. He has a whole team that can help carry the load. So I think he's a superstar.
I think so.
I think his father's an all-star.
Yeah, Craig, it's like a broken record when it comes to Halliburton in these last-minute shots.
You know what? I just got one word for it. Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Now, at the end of that game, I was watching his daddy to see if he was going to go get him somebody's face.
I was too. I woke up for that.
I know. I mean, because, you know, Oklahoma City don't really have those type of suites and stuff. So I think he was sitting not far from the floor. But look here, we're going to talk a little bit more about game one. We're also going to try to, you know, see what's going to happen in game two and all of that and more here. You're listening to the Mean Gene Show right here on ESPN 97.5 H-Town.
Subscribe to ESPN Houston for free on YouTube. You're listening to the Mean Gene Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
For the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Mean Gene.
Back here in our ESPN 97.5 studios, I am your host, Mean Gene, and I have my great friends here, Stan the Man and Craig White. Look, here, I tell you what, before we get into segment two here of the show, John, I have to really thank Charles Carter and Caleb Carter last week for filling in for the Mean Gene Show. I was helping my son move last week, and I'm driving this big-ass U-Haul truck on the 610 freeway listening to Charles and Caleb, right? And I'm like, man, is this my show? I done lost my job already. Because Charles, first of all, who used to produce, was one of the producers of my show when we were in Las Vegas, never knew that that was the first time he ever hosted a show by himself. And then he brings in his brother, who is a graduate from one of my favorite schools, the University of Southern California. That would be called USC. Okay. And I didn't know they were brothers, right? They just sitting there having a good old show back and forth. And I'm like, well, damn, I don't know if I'm going to be invited back to my own damn show because they were doing so good, right? So anyway, folks, if you want to see more of Charles and Caleb, you just wait for the football season. They'll be back. But my ass is going to be back, too, because, damn it, I can't let them come in here and take over my damn show like they did last week. They were good. And you can go and catch the YouTube video. Charles and Caleb, man, thank you guys. I didn't know they were brothers. John, you was in here with them, man. Y'all had a ball last week.
Yeah, we had a good time.
Oh, yeah. Good stuff. So, anyway, all right, we're talking about the NBA Finals, okay? And, look, as you know, as Houstonians, I know we don't really have a dog in this fight here. Our team got beat. Our Rockets got beat, but we will be back, okay? The Rockets are going to reload. Cannot wait to see what free agency is going to bring the Houston Rockets. But it's the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Indiana Pacers who have deserved to be in the NBA Finals. They are in the NBA Finals. And look, everyone is betting on the Thunder to win, even though they lost game one. But we're gonna talk about how they lost this game, guys, because I'm worried about the Oklahoma City Thunder when they had 14 steals in this game. They had 14 steals, and Indiana committed 24 turnovers. Now, granted, 19 of those turnovers was in the first half when they were getting their butts kicked. But that, I mean, don't that bring some type of concern? Yeah. And how going into game two, that's got to be a major concern.
Yeah, I don't think Oklahoma capitalized on the turnovers. Mm-mm. They usually blow you out when you have that many turnovers. They didn't take advantage of it, or they couldn't.
Crazy. Greg, what do you make of it? I mean, just think about it. And let's just look at the steals alone. 14 steals. Now, what do you do with those? They didn't turn the ball over as much. As a matter of fact, they only had 6 turnovers, Oklahoma City. So they didn't capitalize as much. By the end of the first quarter, the score was only 29-20.
Right.
And then the second quarter, it was, Oklahoma scored 28 and Indiana scored 25. But remember, they had 19 turnovers in the first half. What the hell was Oklahoma thinking?
I don't know. You would think Oklahoma would have been able to capitalize off the turnover than score. You know, off the turnover, but I don't know. Just something was like, it was very a defensive game, basically, you know, because both teams were playing good defense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know, but I do think they're going to come out with the firepower tomorrow, OKC is.
Well, I remember doing the broadcast, I think, when either Mike Breen Oh yeah, we got to talk about Mike Breen. How about Mike Breen's big screw up? Oh, dear. Mike Breen, I tell you what, at some point in time, we all need to know when to quit a job or retire from a job. I don't think I'm at that point. I might forget names. I do forget names. I butcher names all the damn time. But you know what? It doesn't matter because I know who the hell I'm talking about. You may not know, but we'll get to it. I might describe who I'm talking about or tell you. You might say, okay, Gene, you're talking about this guy. You're talking about this guy. But Mike Breen is sitting up there saying, Dallas, time out. I'm like, what the hell? I'm like, what? I don't know. But look, and just to get away from the game a little bit, I'm not really feeling the three-man NBA Finals crew no more. I'm really bored with Richard Jefferson. Doris is not doing it for me anymore. And after Mike Breen's big-time screw-up on TV, Dallas is like, hell, are we really in the playoffs? I'm like, how do you know? You're at the game and you're saying Dallas timeout.
I'm totally confused on that, too. I'm like big old OKC on somebody's jersey. You're talking about Dallas. So when he said Dallas, I started to run out the house and go to Popeyes, you know?
Like, what's going on there? It was crazy. It was crazy. But look, back to this game, though. You know, at this point in the finals, I mean, we all know the road that Oklahoma City took to get here. We know the road that Indiana took and staying. You know, I told you, I thought Indiana took the tougher road. And, man, Oklahoma, I can tell you what. I'm going to tell you why I was worried about Oklahoma and why I'm worried now. Because when Denver beat them, who was that? No. Who was that beating by 42 points that game?
Minnesota.
Look, and I know they rebounded and came back, but it was the fact that they're capable of just really falling apart. So you even take the Denver game. Denver did blow them out one game.
Yeah, right.
Denver beat the hell out of them by one game. And then Minnesota did it. And then you lose this game. You know, it's not a blowout, but when you add the turnovers and the force, the steals, that right there worries me because I just think Oklahoma might be in trouble.
I don't think so. I think they'll come back. Only person out of, it was 15, 16 in our group text. Mike Cannon was the only one picked.
Shout out, Mike. Yeah. Mike, we shot you out. You were the only one to pick.
I thought he was crazy for picking those guys, but maybe he saw something we didn't see.
Right? He did. Yeah, he did. So
I think OKC will come back.
John, I mean, when you look at those type of variations, because, I mean, we can look at Oklahoma. Yeah. Look, we saw what happened to Cleveland. I know Cleveland had injuries. Knock on wood, Oklahoma has not had any injuries. But when you see how Denver, they gave up 30-something points to Denver, 40-something points to Minnesota, and they lose game one at home, then capitalize on these turnovers and steals.
Well, it's game one, first off. The other thing I'll say is if OKC goes on to win this, there's not one person in the world that's going to remember any of those games that you're talking about. It's going to be, you know, a heck of a run to a finals win here. But along these type of championship runs, it's such a long, grueling, you know, process. You're going to have games like that where, you know, guys are going to get tired and they're going to say, well, we're still, you know, this is not a must win. Maybe, you know, we take our foot off the brakes or whatever. You know, obviously you want to win every game. It's the playoffs, but it does happen. I think that's sort of like, I don't want to say load management, but managing the flow of this playoff run. I think once they get to the end, and I think they will, I pick OKC as well, they're going to go ahead and win this. Nobody's going to remember they got blown out by 40. And I don't think it's worrisome necessarily that they lost game one because they'll capitalize on those turnovers in game two and they'll be right back on top.
And I'm not going to change my pick because I picked them too. But I wouldn't be shocked if Indiana wins the series. But I'm going to tell you one thing that's going to save Oklahoma is this format. I mean, it's the fact that in the conference finals, there was a game every other day. Now we know they played Thursday. Game two won't be until Sunday. You got 2 days or almost damn near 3 days to sit and think about this. I think that goes into their favor.
Yeah.
I really do. I think that goes into Oklahoma City's favor. But Indiana, look, there's not a whole lot to do. in Oklahoma City. But that should make them feel at home. There's not a whole lot to do in Indianapolis either. So, but I mean, Indianapolis is bigger than Oklahoma City, I think. You know, but I think this Rick Carlisle thing here, and we talked about this, John. You know, I've talked about Rich Carlisle. I talked about Rich Carlisle is the reason Tom Thibodeau was fired, because he got out coach. And here Rick Carlisle won a championship with the Dallas Mavericks. Here he is with another team here, Craig. And there's no fear with this guy. I mean, how is it that you can – and I'm sitting there watching the game Thursday night, knowing that they're down, 16, 17 points there. You get into the fourth quarter, and you just like, this game still ain't over.
You're right. Well, speaking from me playing ball and, you know, previously and all that stuff, I think Rick Carlisle know what he knows what he has. He used his players to the best of his ability, and it's like he knows that they're gonna come back one way or another. You know, they were down 15,
mm-hmm.
and they end up cutting it down to 1. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, it's like some coaches believe. Know their team to the point where, okay, we get down 15-20, going at halftime, and next thing you know, they come back out. It's totally different team from what we saw in the first half.
Yeah.
I think some coaches are like that. And then I'm going to jump some for a minute on the Thibodeau thing. If he would have used his bench more, I think it would have been a totally different series. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at Carlisle. He got a what, an 8, 9, 10 rotation?
Yeah, yeah. He's going. He goes pretty deep.
Yeah.
And then even with OKC, the 2 days they had off, it's given them a lot of time to think about this. And I'm guaranteeing that coach is probably thinking, okay, what can I do differently this time that I didn't do last time? You know, like when he changed that lineup, I don't think he should have changed that lineup. That's just me personally, you know, thinking.
Thibodeau was like me when I coach women's basketball. You know, you look down at that bitch, you see that one player like. How the hell you even make this team? Nope. Hey, I'm not even calling a timeout. Right. How about staying Carlisle's ability to regroup Obi Toppin? It looked like Obi Toppin was about to have the worst game of his life. Committed, what, they had, what, 19 turnovers in the first half? Hell, Obi Toppin must have had about six of them by his damn self.
Yeah.
But he had 5 threes, too, though.
Yeah.
He pulled Toppin out. And then somehow they got it together. And Toppin went out there and damn near became the MVP of game one.
Pretty much. Indiana's a solid team. They were solid last year.
They were.
They are a real solid team. They was kind of unhealthy at the beginning of the season. Mm-hmm. When they're healthy, I put them up against anyone.
I mean, look at this. I will stand by this. And this is another thing that worries me about Oklahoma City. They didn't have it hard, you know, a hard trip to get to the finals. I mean, come on, Memphis, really? Denver gave them a good run. And then they ended up, Minnesota only won one game, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know Minnesota's Minnesota, but they didn't have an answer for them. And Indiana had a tough road. Yeah. Indiana they get every minute of 48 minutes of a game. Right. They get it all. The game is not over until Tyrese Halliburton gets off the last shot.
Yeah.
And he really didn't do nothing at the beginning of the game.
That's what he does. He's that type of a guy. So, anyway, I tell you what, we are going to take another break, and when we come back, we will try to see who's going to win game two and how they're going to win game two. You listen to the Mean Gene Show right here on ESPN 97.5 H-Town.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to the Mean Gene Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
For the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Mean Gene.
All right, once again, it's the Mean Gene Show right here on the ESPN 97.5 H-Town, and I am joined by some of the greatest, greatest friends. Look, there are a lot of people out there that cannot say that they have known someone and just had a friendship for 40 years or plus, okay? John, I know you're not even 40 years old, so you know you have no idea what the hell I'm talking about.
No clue.
It's all good, though, John, because one day you will have, you will be able to look back and say, me and Gene was telling me about the power of friendship. So but between both of these guys, 80-something years of friendship, but 40 years, you know, each plus United States Navy. Now, look here, I just got a text message a few minutes ago that says, good Lord, you mean you three were defending our country? Yes, we were. We were younger back then. We were in great shape, and you didn't want to mess with the United States Navy. We would blow anything out the damn water with the little pea shooter that they gave us, right? I don't think we had guns on our ship.
I had a slingshot.
Yeah, with a slingshot, we could throw rocks at you. We were on a supply ship, okay? It wasn't, I mean, hey, we had a great time. You guys remember some of the places we went?
Oh, yeah. Paddy Beach, Thailand, the Philippines, Hong Kong.
Stop smiling, Craig. Stop smiling.
Mogadishu, Somalia.
Those were the glory days.
We went to Mombasa, Africa, the motherland. Oh, man, I was unbelievable. I walked off that ship and I'm home at last, free at last.
Yeah, I remember Thailand. Stan went missing in Thailand for 3 days. We finally found him.
on the bowl of rice.
Yeah, and then I almost got married in the Philippines three times. Before I came to my senses. Yeah, okay. They said there's beautiful women in other places in the world too, Mean Gene. Don't stop here. Okay, anyway, no, we had a great time. Guys, looking at game two, and I'm really trying to figure out, and there were some other things that in order for Oklahoma City to win, I was shocked that Chet Holmgren had a bad game. He was, what, 2-for-9, I think?
Yeah.
Jay Will was 6-for-19. They're going to really need some help from those guys. Caruso really did help out a lot. You know, I know, Stan, it drives you crazy to see Caruso guarding some of guys two times his size, but he's a feisty guy.
I can't believe that. Man, Shaq would never let someone that size guard him.
No, he wouldn't.
But he does. He's doing,
I mean,
a good
he
job.
Does it. He yeah. does it, and he's good on both ends of the court.
Yes, he
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is.
So, Craig, look, Shai Gilgeous had 38 points in game one. I think you're always going to see some Shai, but I wouldn't be surprised, and tell me if you agree or not, that they will quickly get Holmgren and Jay Will involved in game two, I think.
I think so, because that's going to be definitely a way for them to win. They got to get Williams and Holmgren involved in the game early. Get them off early, and then get them involved in the game early, and then need be when they need Shai, let him take over and do his thing.
Yeah, and go ahead.
I think to be successful, you have to get other players involved. They're just like Tyrese Halliburton. Everybody else gets involved, and then he knows when to get the rock and do his thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you wonder why they didn't came back. They called him a comeback kid because he everybody else was getting involved. And then he come to the last, hey, that's what big-time players do. And he doesn't do it arrogantly. He does it like in a calm, mild, you don't hear nothing about him manner, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm shocked.
But I'm thinking that's the way, not to cut you short, Mean Gene, mm-hmm. I think that's the way OKC going to have to do it to get back in this game and win the series.
Well, another stat we haven't really talked about is they're going to have to control the boards. How does a team, and Stan, we talked about the fact that when you look at the center position, you would think that Oklahoma City has the advantage with Hardenstein and Holmgren and even the other Williams, but they got out-rebounded 56-39. That was another contributing factor.
They didn't play them both at the same time in the first game.
I guarantee usually, that changes yeah. tomorrow.
They go back to the original lineup. Yeah. I think they could win.
They're going to have to. When they look at the stat sheet and see that, oh, man, we got beat, they out-rebounded us by 17 and in conjunction with everything else. Because Indiana only have Toppin and Turner. They don't really have – they're not big.
No.
They go small real quick.
No.
And yeah. – It's just going to be interesting to see. So, I mean, do we see more? Hardenstein is just a good guy. I think he could be an X factor in the game for OKC, I think, because he goes out and does just the one job. If you get some points from him, it's gravy.
That's a bonus.
Yeah. I think it's gravy. So, all right, we're gonna have to figure out. Stan, I'll let you start first. Who's gonna win game two, and how do you think they're gonna do it?
OKC, I think they go back to their original lineup and take control of boards and capitalize off the turnovers.
Okay, Craig.
I have to agree with Stan on that one.
You think?
Yes.
Okay. So now,
and probably put more pressure on Halliburton, so he don't do like he normally does.
Well, Halliburton plays possum for a little bit for the most part, so he gets out there, and does what he needs to do when he needs to do it. So, but if you're Indiana, okay, how do you leave OKC with 2K? Because those fans were stunned. They had no clue. And somebody had said, man, are there any Pacer fans there? Because, they did an all white out.
Yeah.
Look, the only Pacer fans was there, but they were in the witness protection program. You couldn't see them in there, right? But I guarantee you somebody was yelling for them at the end of that game. Those fans were stunned. So, obviously, they haven't watched a lot of Indiana because they've been focused on their own damn team. But if you're Indiana, how do you leave their 2-0 going back to Indy next week, Stan? How does Indy get to be 2-0?
Siakam keep doing what he's doing. Siakam continue to have a good good game.
Is that guy good or what?
Yeah, he's to me the best player on the team.
Yeah, and Craig, what do you think? You think more Siakam, more? I did complain about Nembhard, who did step up and put the Knicks out. Yeah. Right. He did finally step up because I'm like, that guy, I'm like, come on, man. How are you going to be the point guard here and you, like, killing your team? So who you think, if Indiana's going to win game two, who's gonna step up?
I think Nembhard needs to control himself and stay out of foul trouble. And Pascal Siakam, if he continue doing this thing, it's a possibility they can leave OKC 0-2. I mean,
2-0.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, now, and let's just say.
And also, not to cut you short, control their turnovers.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guarantee you
that. That really hurt them in game one. And they're lucky that they didn't end up really losing game one. Mm-hmm. Because if, what's the name, with OKC would have capitalized like they should have off some turnover, it could have been easily a 20-point deficit or a 25, deficit.
Oklahoma's going to have to make way more adjustments than Indiana. And that's the scary part to me. John, what do you think? I mean, do you think Oklahoma City? You think Indiana has a chance to leave out of there tomorrow night, up 2-0?
No, of course I do. I think that if they obviously have, if they just keep themselves in any game and just give the ball to Tyrese Halliburton at the end, they're going to be winning all these games. This has been. They seemed like they were being outplayed that whole game. Didn't lead to the final buzzer, but that's kind of the way that they're going to win these kind of games. I think they got to shore up on the turnovers, and they've got to really try to keep Oklahoma City at bay. But I think as long as they're just kind of hanging around and fighting in these games at the end, like there's always a chance that Indiana's going to be able to win some of these close games. I think OKC's the better team. They're at home, and they need to capitalize at home. But there's a chance Indiana can find their way to a win here.
It's going to be interesting. Look, I can't wait to see. I'm going to go with Indiana tomorrow night, even though I'm still picking Oklahoma. Look, I might as well change my whole damn pick if Indiana wins tomorrow night. I mean, you never know. We might get 7. This thing is going to go on and on all the way till mid June here. But I don't know. I just don't see what. Look. In my opinion, Indy played a horrible game and won. And Oklahoma's the one that's going to have to make a multitude of adjustments. So I can't wait to see. They got to do it. They got to do it at home. They got to get Jay Will. I think Jay Will has stepped up. We've seen this guy do big things. And Holmgren, we've seen him have big games. That could be trouble. I wouldn't be surprised if Oklahoma beat them by 30 tomorrow. That's just the type of team they are sometimes. Right. So we'll see. It'll make for an interesting series, though. All right, look, Tom Thibodeau got fired. We all knew it was coming. John, I was going to have you pull up some tape because I think I sat here in this chair and told you that if they didn't beat Indiana, he was going to be fired, and he was.
You did, but I didn't believe you.
Yeah. Well, damn it, John. It's about time you start believing in me.
Yeah.
I knows what I'm talking about sometimes. But anyway, and look, and rightfully so. And I know people, there's not a whole lot of New York people here in Houston, so I don't care who the hell I piss off right now. But here's the thing. You can't beat the Boston Celtics and lose to the Pacers and keep your job. You just can't. Those people already knew. John, you also remember when I came here when after they beat the Celtics, I said, stop it. I said, you guys, all the celebrations, they brought everybody out. They brought Noah and Moses out. Everybody was out at that game there in New York. Everybody. And yeah, that was a big achievement. You knocked out the defending champs. And I said, but you're going to lose to Indiana. That was before the series even started. And look what happened. So Thibodeau gets fired. Now, that ain't what we want to talk about right now. We want to talk about what happened after Thibodeau got fired. In the New York Post, they posted a picture. Less than 24 hours after Thibodeau gets fired, you have Brunson, Karl Anthony Towns, Harsh, and Mekhi Bridges. They were at the Floor Room in Chelsea. That's a nightclub there. They were partying it up, having a ball. So, you know, were they just trying to shake off, you know, just the distraction? Or were they like, hell yeah, they fired his ass? I mean, what do you think they were doing, Stan?
I've never seen this. My first time hearing about that.
Hell yeah. I mean, I tried to get the picture up here, but they said, this is the way the Post, this is the New York Post. I mean, this is a respectable media, you know, newspaper. They said the Knicks seemed to be in high spirits Monday night, 24 hours after their coach was fired. It's Brunson, Towns, Hart, and Bridges, and company. Oh, and company. I didn't even see that part. All parted at the Floor Room in Chelsea. Okay, so, and they got photos obtained by the Post. The Knicks were all smiles as they partied just a few blocks from where Thibodeau's ass got fired. I mean, what do you do? They didn't seem like they were disturbed by this. I tell you what, we're going to take a break. We come back, we're going to get into if the Knicks really wanted Thibodeau out of there. I don't know. I ain't never really... Believe me, I'm going to go out and party if I want my boss. If my boss is an a-hole, oh, you damn right, and they fired him, it's time to party. You listen to the Mean Gene Show right here on ESPN 97.5 H-Town.
Yeah. ESPN 97.5. You're listening to the Mean Gene Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
For the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Mean Gene.
All right, Mean Gene Show here, last segment here on a Saturday here with my great friends here, Stan and Craig. Look, only one more week of the Mean Gene Show. Me, John, taking a break. We're going to take our summer break. When we come back in August, it's going to be NFL preseason. And we go back to our 2 hours, which, you know, it's always been a football show. And some of you folks are probably saying, yeah, we can tell because you don't know jack about basketball. But anyway, I beg to differ, okay? I've been to some NBA finals. I know a little something about this. But anyway, so going to take a break. Looking forward to it. It's getting hot as hell in Houston anyway. And it's a good time to go to the West Coast and chill for a little bit. And, John, what are you going to do with this extra hour that you get back in your life?
Sit in traffic, just like I do, you know, every other week, getting out of here.
So John gets to take a little break here. John, are you rolling with us in the football season, man? Because, you know, we don't know.
We don't know yet.
Okay.
How it's going to play out.
Because me and John worked together for many years here. John, that's my guy right there. John, you know we're going to be back in Vegas, too. Now, more news on that. We will be back in Las Vegas. Won't be back there like we used to be, which used to wear my ass out. Okay. I had to go to rehab and everything after we did our last Las Vegas gig. But now we're going to take it a little bit easier this time. So anyway, we were just talking about we wasn't talking about Tom Thibodeau's firing because that's old news now. We all know he was going to get fired. We were talking about the reaction of the Knicks players. And you can go to the New York Post and see these pictures of P.J. Tucker, who I think retired, called it quits. He might have been – you know what now? We could say that they were celebrating P.J. Tucker's retirement. Not. He just announced that the other day. So the Knicks were out there partying. Now, look, you got to think that Knicks owner James Dolan, just like with any superstar, you fire a coach – you got to go tell that superstar. They're going to tell Karl Anthony Towns and Jalen Brunson, hey, we're going to part ways. They probably knew before that. You know, and then Brunson still had to answer those questions after they got defeated by the Pacers. Hey, you know, do you think you should keep your coach? I mean, what are you going to say? You ain't going to get up there and say nothing stupid, right? But as we all say, actions speak louder than words, right? Yeah. And their actions spoke louder, didn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, but his dad's on their coaching staff, too.
Well, here's the thing. I can guarantee you, and I don't know this, I don't have any inside knowledge, but whoever the Knicks coach is, you will inherit Brunson's father as an assistant. I guarantee you. There's no way you're going to fire Jalen Brunson's father as an assistant coach. I guarantee it's written in his contract somewhere that this is the package deal. Good luck to whoever the new coach is that's going to have the you-know-what to go in there and say, hey, Bronson, no, not you. Yeah, this one. You out of here. Yeah, good luck.
Yeah, I know.
I guarantee you, they are, you know, and speaking of that, Stan, I'm glad you brought that up because of all names that are being rumored to be at least interviewed for the next Knicks head coaching job is Jalen Brunson's former coach, Jason Kidd.
Yes. Yeah.
Craig, you both of you guys live in Dallas, so what do you think?
If I was Kid, I wouldn't leave Dallas. You got the number one pick coming up with the team you have now.
But ain't this the way it happens, though, in the NBA? You see the writing on the wall, ooh, man, I get to coach Cooper Kupp and Kyrie Irving and Anthony Davis, and next thing you know, oh, I'm the head coach of the New York Knicks.
Huh? I would stay in Dallas if I had the chance.
John, would you take the Dallas Mavericks job or a chance to reunite with Jalen Brunson in New York?
I think I'm going to New York. I know Dallas has upside with the pick, but I'm taking the New York job. I mean, that's New York City. You know what I mean? If you are the one that wins in New York City, infamy forever. I mean, I want to take the chance at that because I can go coach everywhere, you know, wherever else, you know, later on. I want to try to win in New York.
Well, Jason Kidd, I mean, and poor Jason Kidd because somehow, you know, his name gets thrown out there. And if you're the Dallas Mavericks, you're thinking like, okay, well, did Jason call them? Did he tip them off? Did he say he wants to be? And you got to be worried now if Dallas might just part ways with him anyway, just because his name is out there. You know how this crazy business works.
Yeah.
Kid might not be the coach of the Dallas Mavericks before the Knicks make a decision. Who knows? And speaking of coaching decisions, the Phoenix Suns, finally, they've hired another coach. Good luck, Jordan Ott, because you're probably going to be without a job in another 2 years.
Yes.
Phoenix Suns have hired 4 coaches in the last 5 years. And that's the word. Ott, the assistant coach with the Cleveland Cavaliers, they vetted some guys. I don't know who the hell they talked to, but, you know, an assistant with Cleveland, not bad. Cleveland had the best record in the East, even though they got tossed out of the playoffs. He's your new coach of the Phoenix Suns. But it's going to be interesting. We'll keep an eye on that and see what's going to happen with this Knicks coaching job and Jason Kidd. Jason Kidd's been around. I kind of agree with John, though. I mean, it's New York. And I don't trust Nico Harrison because if you're going to trade Luka and not tell Jason Kidd or nobody, I wouldn't trust Dallas anyway. I mean, would you trust Jason Kidd? I mean, would you trust Nico Harrison after they pulled that in the middle of the night, owner, GM-only conversation and trade Luka?
I don't trust him, but I would still take my chances with Dallas.
I don't know.
You got a better shot at a champion with Dallas than you do with New York right now.
And then, you know, we just found out, you know,
Kyrie.
About Kyrie. Kyrie Irving, look, is not coming back until January. That's half of the NBA year from that torn ACL. Yeah. So it ain't like you're going to see Cooper Kupp and Kyrie and Anthony Davis out there all together. So
I hope we don't see Cooper Kupp out there.
what's the, Cooper Flag?
Flag, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Dallas, the Cowboys would love to see Cooper Kupp. Okay.
We'll take him to Dallas.
Thanks, John. I told you I butchered the hell out of names, didn't I?
Yeah.
I got to live up to my reputation, damn it. All right. So real quick here, the NBA commissioner, right before the NBA All-Star game every year, they have what they call this address the media thing. And one of the big questions that came up in that meeting with Adam Silver and the media was the All-Star game format. And believe it or not, Adam Silver had some breaking news there. We didn't have no soundbite on that, did we? Okay. He told the media that for the umpteenth time, we're going to make another change. I mean, the All-Star game has changed from the old days because we're all about the same age, John, of the East and West. Back in the day, that's what we grew up on, the best of the East against the best of the West. And then that went on for many, many, many years until they just got lazy. It really got to be lazy, 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 lazy. I think it started like right about the time when they told those guys to do the Dream Team stuff. When they started playing in the Olympics, I think they just watered it down a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't think they really start playing that well. So now we saw this other crazy stuff that they've been doing with the All-Star game where, okay, Team LeBron, Team Joker, Team Curry, and all of this craziness.
Yes.
And it's still the same result. Nobody plays any defense. So now the new format here that the commissioner is talking about doing here is going with the USA versus the world. Now, this is interesting because this is going to be for bragging rights. We see this is similar to what they do in baseball, right, John, with Major League Baseball. Well, not for the All-Star game, but they do have a USA versus the world in Major League Baseball.
More hockey, I think, is what you're thinking here. I think because baseball does the All-Star game, and then they have the World Baseball Classic.
But yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
But that's not Classic. But that's not like an All-Star style.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, but hockey does.
Of did that. They did it with the four nations, like USA, Canada, and like something else. And that was pretty entertaining. There is some kind of precedent for this.
Well, look, I tell you what, but just, you know, it sounds exciting. And on the surface, guys, real quick, because I know we only got like 3 minutes left on the show. But, man, when you think about the world, we're thinking about Victor Wembanyama. We're thinking about Shea Gilgeous. We're thinking about Giannis. We're thinking about all these all-stars from the world.
There's a lot of them.
I don't think it would be fair.
No, that's for the all-star, right?
Yeah, for the all-star game.
Yeah, but then you're still going to leave out a lot of American guys, that's not going to make the All-Star team.
Well, no, you're going to get more American guys because most of the All-Stars are going to be on the World's team. Remember? Because you got even Siakam now you got to find more USA guys that, you know, born, bred USA players to step it up now.
Yeah, I don't like that.
I mean, it's going to be a shellacking. What do you think, Craig?
Yeah. I think it would be very interesting, but I'm like you on this one. I think the world team would give them a run for the money.
Well, I think the world team is going to beat the brakes off them. Yeah,
you have a lot of the
Giannis,
original All-Stars.
Yeah.
And the NBA, they're getting older. There's no more LeBrons. There's no more Steph Currys.
But you got Halliburton.
Well, yeah, up and coming.
You got some young, guys.
Remember, his own players didn't vote him as superstars. It's going to be interesting, though. I'm just saying, I don't know, but we'll talk more about it here. As a matter of fact, we'll talk more next week. Will be the last. I try to throw out as much as I can next week about the upcoming NBA draft, and we'll see where we're going to be in this series here between Oklahoma City and the Indiana Pacers. So, hey, Stan, want to thank you guys for driving all the way down from the Big D to come hang out with me. Craig, thank you guys. Anchors away. We're going to get on up out of here. We'll see you back here next week on the Mean Gene Show right here on ESPN 97.5
H-Town. Been a pleasure.
Houston's independent voice for sports, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.